I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative networks, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
You're tuning in live this Monday, September 19th, 2022, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic gas-lit or gas-lighted, however you say that, ride, to be sure. And I think rather than get into exactly how what is happening is happening, I think first we'll start with some examples. So let's see. Speaking of insanity, how about we start with Sleepy Creepy Joe on 60 Minutes over the weekend? This doesn't make any sense, but it happened, so it happened, even though it's not happening. The pandemic is over. Long live COVID. What? So on 60 Minutes, Joe Biden told us that the pandemic's over, but COVID's still a problem. So can we play that by chance?
President Biden declaring the coronavirus pandemic over.
Is the pandemic over?
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over.
Pandemic over, but COVID is still a problem, the president says. That is from the president's 60 Minutes interview that just aired a short time ago. And he touched not only on COVID, but the economy, the upcoming midterms, and the war in Ukraine.
So that's interesting. I think to sort of get going, there's a post that the IFL Science folks made a reference to an article, and the title of the article, published back in 2020, which is kind of ironic, December 24, Christmas Eve 2020, neuroscientist explains why some people are more prone to believing conspiracies. And the irony is, of course, it was happening. Comes complete with a video. The irony is, it doesn't have anything to do with science. It's just a mockery, you know, and a collection of ad hominem attack, essentially, of people who, as it turns out, were right. I wonder if they're going to do any sort of corrections or retractions or anything. But this is the world we live in these days. So moving right along, speaking of conspiracies, I think maybe speaking of Andrew Breitbart, you know, we play the Hating Breitbart intro. I think where we're headed, it's appropriate to mention, do you remember Andrew Breitbart's infamous tweet about John Podesta that he made less than a month before he died suddenly at the ripe old age of 43 years old? The tweet read, "How prog guru John Podesta isn't household name as world-class underage sex slave op cover-upper defending unspeakable dregs escapes me." That was February 4, 2011. And, well, actually, I guess it was a year and a month later. He was no longer with us. So, anyway, he made mention of interesting things like that on occasion, and people picked up on it not long after he passed away, and so that fueled speculation. There were a lot of suspicious elements, I guess, to his passing. The young man who apparently witnessed his passing on the street and then disappeared, kind of like Jesus Campos after the Route 91 Harvest Festival, just disappeared. Was no one could find him for quite a while. Finally, he reemerged, and kind of like Ellen with Jesus Campos, you know, "You're only going to talk about this one time and then you'll never talk about it again," she said. This kid didn't want to talk to anybody. So I kind of think of that, not that it's necessarily relevant, but I think that the ghost of Andrew Breitbart and other folks is still alive and well. And it's interesting how we've seen high profile deviance is sort of what I call it. And it just keeps coming around. In fact, now it's being normalized. I don't know about you, but if you watch pretty much anything on television or Netflix, certainly Hulu, you know, any of the streaming services, things are getting filthier and more reprobate in, I would say, Romans chapter 1 sort of fashion, and really starting to careen off the edge of the cliff, where our boundaries and borders, so to speak, not just physical, are being eviscerated. They're being eroded. So in that sort of fashion, you may have noticed earlier this month, John Podesta is back. Fox News reported, for example, earlier this month, Biden appoints ex-Clinton aide, okay, John Podesta as new climate advisor, sparking scathing social media reactions. Critics slammed Podesta's appointment as evidence of corruption in Washington, D.C. I would say it goes, corruption is an understatement, personally. So Joe Biden said in a statement, President Joe Biden We are fortunate that John Podesta will lead our continued innovation and implementation as deep roots in climate and clean energy. Reminds one of, you know, other folks, John Kerry and other folks, and experience at senior levels of government mean we can truly hit the ground running and take advantage of the massive clean energy opportunities in front of us. That's what Biden said. So some people pointed out that the staggering $370 billion climate spending fund Podesta will oversee in his new role, including Becker News chief editor and CEO Kyle Becker, who tweeted articles on the former Clinton aide with the caption, "Meet John Podesta. He is a veteran political operative. He is now Biden's climate advisor." That's not all he is, that's for sure. He will manage a $370 billion climate slush fund. Meet John's brother, Tony Podesta. He was paid $500,000 by blacklisted Chinese firm Huawei to lobby the Biden White House. Any questions? And there's so much more, obviously. There's reference to WikiLeaks in the Fox News article and more. So, I mean, it's just, this is kind of where we start, I guess. And there's just so much more. Speaking of high-profile deviants, you know, there's the Pizzagate stuff, the WikiLeaks emails, obviously. Marina Abramovic and Spirit Cooking, the Epstein connections, and so much more. And again, I mean, you go back in history, this is sort of an unbroken thread. You know, we have the homosexual, essentially prostitution ring and trafficking ring in Washington. And then there's Boys, you know, Boys Town and Mr. Ice Cream Licker himself. As we go back in history and you come forward and we have other curious things. Speaking of this, anyway, I don't want to get too graphic, but their YouTube channel, really graceful. Grace put out three videos on now King Charles. And I think when we think of Charles, we should think of Joan Vian, who was way ahead of the curve, particularly when she wrote Prince Charles, the Sustainable Prince. She talked about all of this stuff. But Grace did a video titled three-part series, actually, kind of mini documentary, What the Media Won't Tell You About King Charles. And they're all interesting. Part three is particularly interesting. I don't know, maybe we should play it. She mentions high-profile deviants, obviously. Jeffrey Epstein, Jimmy Savile, Kevin Spacey, Lord Louis Mountbatten, Prince Charles, Andrew, etc. But I thought it was interesting that around the 5:45 minute mark, she shows a photo from the Oscars, the 2014 Oscars, when Ellen DeGeneres had pizza delivered to Oscars attendees. Why would she do that? Why would Ellen do that? And the photo that Grace shows is of DeGeneres sharing pizza with Kevin Spacey, as Angelina Jolie eyes Spacey in the photo. And so I would say, you know, Grace is undoubtedly hinting at Comet Ping Pong, Pizzagate, etc. So I'm trying to ease into this subject matter smoothly without just hammering it out of the gates, but this is what we're subjected to, and we're gaslighted to believe that it's not occurring in the kind of fashion that the IFL Science article mentioned. We see that kind of stuff everywhere. You know, the fake fact checkers and those kinds of things. If you're not a credentialed authority, then people can't believe you, even if what you present are facts in contravention to ad hominem attack. So first of all, I have a question about all of these kinds of things. You know, we watched what happened with Epstein. We've seen more recently what has happened with Ghislaine Maxwell. Everybody's, I think, intentionally mispronouncing her name a particular way. First of all, my question is, why isn't Grace, or anyone for that matter, connecting Donald Trump to all of this high-profile deviance? Because he is connected. And that just seems to kind of go by the wayside, which I find really astonishing. It's kind of like Bill Gates, you know. It's kind of like Bill Gates getting a pass on Epstein. And there are deeper, darker connections there too that he lied about. But again, to me, the smoking gun is really Rick Allen Jones. So, but who's heard of Rick Allen Jones? So there was that NBC article last December 2021, Jeffrey Epstein introduced me to Trump at 14, Ghislaine Maxwell accuser says. Testifying at Maxwell's trial in New York City, the woman identified by the pseudonym Jane said she met the former president in the 1990s at his Mar-a-Lago resort. Is it possible to play that? That little clip.
Only by the pseudonym Jane. She says disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein took her to meet Donald Trump in the 1990s when she was just 14. NBC News correspondent for Investigations Tom Winter joins us now. Tom, good morning. You've been following this for us, and now you're outside the courthouse again. So it's important to note that that woman did not say Trump acted inappropriately. But have we reached out to the former president? Has he said anything about Wednesday's testimony? And what exactly did she say?
Good morning, Savannah. That's correct. She did not say that the former president acted inappropriately in any way. She also really didn't characterize how that meeting went down, and she wasn't even asked about it. To your question, yes, the NBC News political unit did reach out to the former president and his representatives for any sort of comment. Trump, it came out in the proceedings day's testimony that he was on Jeffrey Epstein's plane, according to Jeffrey Epstein's pilot, and traveled on that plane as well. That's something we had heard about before, but it was the first time somebody has said it in open court. I think it's interesting that the defense is the one that is bringing up all of these associations with celebrity names, former presidents, including former President Bill Clinton. So it's not something that prosecutors are raising. It's something that the defense team has brought up in court in their cross-examination. They've also included Prince Andrew in that, as well as several bold-faced celebrity names. So we'll just have to see if the president has responded, and he hasn't responded yet to any of his other previous mentions in court, so we'll be following it closely, Savannah.
Now, so, Jane testified that
interesting. The defense brought this up. Why would the defense do that? And she hasn't said that the president, former president, acted inappropriately in any way, but she hasn't been asked. Well, why would the defense bring this up and then no one asks about? I would say the obvious question. We have presidents at the heart of this, you know, over multiple administrations, and it's a bipartisan issue, this high-profile deviance. The NBC News article is interesting. Speaking of the 2014 Oscars, I think it's worth throwing in something on that, too. I'll give you the New York Daily News article from that, which I think are curious little harbingers, and we will proceed forward. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
It's the good life. Full of fun seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. All right, so the NBC News article. These, you read these things and they are just comical, how ridiculous they are. So, excerpts from this article. NBC News, again, this was published last December 1st, 2021. One of the four women who say they were groomed testified Wednesday that the disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein took her to meet Donald Trump when she was 14, just 14, took her to meet Donald Trump. But wait, the plot thickens. Testifying at Maxwell's trial in New York City, which we heard, what, nothing about, by the way. The woman who is being identified by the pseudonym Jane said on cross-examination that she met the future president in the 1990s at Mar-a-Lago. Jane didn't allege any improper behavior by Trump and didn't go into further detail about why she was at the resort. How convenient, I would say. So let's see. She acknowledged taking part in a 1998 Miss Teen USA beauty pageant that was also associated with Trump. And the article says it wasn't immediately clear whether that was before or after the meeting at Mar-a-Lago. It wasn't immediately clear. Was it ever clear? The article doesn't say. Trump's spokesman didn't immediately reply. This sounds like, what's her name? It reads like, what's her name? What's her name? Now I can't remember. What the heck is her? This is what happens. You turn 50 and everything falls out of your head. What's her name? You know, the crazy Cassidy Hutchinson. That's right. It sounds like her testimony. Someone said to me something, you know, said that he was recounted to me, something to the effect of. It was not immediately clear. Trump spokesman didn't immediately reply to a request for comment whether Trump, who once called Epstein a terrific guy, has any recollection of meeting Jane. Yeah, but he's duplicitous. He always said he's not a fan. So again, did he ever reply to a request for comment? Following Epstein's 2019 arrest and what happened, Trump told reporters he was not a fan of him. Another woman, Virginia Giuffre, who isn't a part of the case, said in a civil lawsuit that Maxwell trafficked her to Prince Andrew when she was 17. He has denied the allegations, of course. And I just find it laughable when you see that. You see that in all the stories, you know. What was the other one, speaking of all of this, more recently? That escapes me as well. But of course, who's not denying the allegations? Who's confessing these days? Epstein's longtime pilot, Larry Visosky, testified that he remembers meeting Jane, but didn't know that she was a minor. Why would he? But come on, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Flights became the focus of intense media scrutiny after it was discovered that Andrew and others, like former President Bill Clinton, Trump lawyer Alan Dershowitz, took trips on his planes. There are no allegations of trafficking against Clinton and Dershowitz, which I think, again, is funny language. I think we should play that video on how to spot a liar. Maybe we will. Trafficking, seriously. No, they are the recipients of the trafficking. Let's not be silly and foolish. Maxwell, 59, British socialite, has been accused of identifying and targeting vulnerable girls and young women and grooming them. Maxwell has denied accusations. All of the accusations, of course she has. Again, she says she's being scapegoated because they can't try Epstein. And here's what's interesting. Again, from the article, Maxwell's lawyers contend that she is being scapegoated by federal prosecutors because they can't try Epstein, comma, a convicted sex offender who hanged himself in a Manhattan lockup 2 years ago while he awaited trial on charges of sex trafficking. What a disclaimer. What a Jedi mind trick. These are not the droids you're looking for. Stick around, we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
The DOJ is appealing the decision to appoint a special master in the Trump case. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Yes, the Justice Department has appealed the ruling on a special master in the Trump Mar-a-Lago case, saying that the investigation could be irreparably injured by a pause. Really? The DOJ didn't seem bothered by a pause when they waited 3 months before the raid. In fact, the DOJ didn't seem bothered at all when Trump cooperated back in April. What damage could possibly be done by waiting for an independent third party to review the seized documents? Maybe the Department of Justice just doesn't want an independent third party to see the stuff at all. We already know the FBI took documents protected by the attorney-client privilege. What else may they have taken? Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back. All right. So, yeah. To finish this article and move on. And we'll get to the language of lying. There is a language. I think it's important to do this, especially with this article and others like it in view. Sort of to finish the article, Jeffrey Epstein introduced me to Trump at 14. Ghislaine Maxwell, accuser, says, again, I wonder, how does Donald Trump get a pass on all of this? How does Bill Gates get a pass and others? It's astonishing what's happening right before our very eyes, and we just tacitly go on. You know, I mentioned there are books and things. I mean, the self-help industry is a curious animal. There are connections. You know, if you go to the Wikipedia entry for Word of Faith movement and you go to the section on faith and confession, and it reads in Word of Faith teaching, a central element of receiving from God is confession, often called positive confession or faith confession by practitioners. Practitioners will claim and affirm they have healing, well-being, prosperity, and other promises from God before actually experiencing such results. They do so in demonstration of their faith, which they believe will ultimately result in the fulfillment of their words. While similar, it should not be confused with Norman Vincent Peale's positive thinking theology, focusing on the individual as evidenced by the motto, faith in God and believe in oneself. And, you know, there is an attempt to make a distinction, I would say that does not exist as you read on. But it's interesting that the self-help crowd and the prosperity gospel or Word of Faith crowd are closely linked. And the more you dive into this, the more you find similar roots that sort of tie back to guys like Maxwell Maltz, Psycho-Cybernetics, and I think from there it's a short trip to some of the more what we would call aberrant and anomalous behavior, but actually I would call it how it's actually intended to work, and that would be articles like Jeffrey Steinberg's article that I've mentioned many times, From Cybernetics to Littleton Techniques of Mind Control. So, we see this in different sorts of ways. Prominent families, you know, sometimes have family members that are either thrown under the bus and sacrificed in Manchurian Patsy sort of fashion, or you know, something along those lines. Anyway, from the article concluding, Maxwell's lawyers contended that she, Maxwell, is being scapegoated by federal prosecutors because they can't try Epstein, comma, a convicted sex offender who hanged himself in a Manhattan lockup 2 years ago while he awaited trial on charges of sex trafficking. That's quite a disclaimer. Maxwell's siblings echoed that she's being treated unfairly targeted by prosecution. Jane revealed that she crossed paths with Trump a day after she testified in graphic detail about some things we won't mention on radio, which I would say is a weird ad. Very strange, very peculiar addition to the article. It's sort of a non sequitur, it would seem. Or you would want to ask questions at a minimum. There would be other questions behind it. We're going to throw this out and then walk away. So the article mentions that she was cross-examined, her credibility, Jane found her credibility questioned repeatedly by Menninger. Did you rehearse your testimony? No, Jane replied. Menninger then produced a thank you note. And so she was asked whether she wrote it. She said yes, and I say Stockholm Syndrome. It's possible. But Jane said that she was seeking closure and that she had no financial stake in the outcome of the trial, which again is weird. Weird language. It's almost as if the predators are writing these articles. You know, you think of Bill Clinton waggling his thumb in front of the American people and saying things. Speaking of the language of lying, so her ex-boyfriend testified as well. He said Jane told him what she said Maxwell and Epstein did to her. What she said is a weird turn of phrase as well. Told him what she said. Well, you know, maybe that's just specific enough to be precise, but maybe. I also thought it was interesting. The article reads, Jane testified Tuesday that she was still mourning the death of her father when Maxwell and Epstein befriended her at age 14 at the Interlochen Arts Camp in Michigan, IAC. And we could rearrange those initials to CIA, couldn't we? In Michigan. Epstein, who was a big donor to the prestigious program, also had a cabin near the camp. And where else? Why? Why in Michigan? And in his name? Or what? Jane said Maxwell acted like a big sister, et cetera, et cetera. She admitted that she didn't tell investigators about Maxwell's alleged involvement until after Epstein died by suicide in 2019. Again, why the disclaimer? I find it odd. Just, you know, speaking of the silly nonsense, and I mentioned Cassidy Hutchinson earlier, I appreciate what Greg Gutfeld said about that. Cassidy Hutchinson testified before the January 6th committee about something she didn't see. And Jesse Waters, who probably finds himself in this high-profile deviance discussion at some point. Anyway, the way he put it, you know, Cassidy Hutchinson wasn't even in the car. That was an interesting piece that he did. One in particular, he did a couple. But this other article, real quick, since we're doing this, maybe we should, yeah. So the New York Daily News, speaking of the Pizzagate stuff, and we'll get to that in a minute, but again, I thought it was strange. You know, before we knew about, before we heard, you know, before we dug into John Podesta's emails and the curious mention of pizza and cheese pizza and all kinds of weird things that didn't make any sense. They were contextually bizarre. Did not make sense. There was the 2014 Oscars. Ellen, and this New York Daily News article, for example, Ellen DeGeneres delivers pizza to Oscar attendees, then uses Pharrell Williams' hat to collect payment. And by the way, the kid who delivered the pizza didn't confirm whether or not that money actually went to him or that he was tipped. So, I don't know. It's all kind of anecdotal, but it's interesting. So she started out with the, according to the New York Daily News article, she started out with the 12 years as a slave contingent, which may or may not be interesting, including Brangelina, Brad and Angelina, Pitt asked for pepperoni. Pepperoni Pitt requested. Not only did the Moneyball star gamely hand out paper plates to his fellow celebs, but he was also later seen chowing down on a slice. It's, you know, if you read through the Podesta emails, it's a weird article. Other nominees who spotted availing themselves of the pizza were, I think that's supposed to be who were spotted, Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep, Jennifer Lawrence, and Christian Bale, and The Wolf of Wall Street director Martin Scorsese, although his movie star DiCaprio declined. Harrison Ford also made sure to get a slice, as did Oscar winner Jared Leto on behalf of his mother, Constance. As she continued to distribute the pizzas, DeGeneres brought up a touchy subject, paying the delivery man. "I don't have any money," she said, eliciting laughter from the audience. "Sandy," she said to Gravity star Sandra Bullock, "you've got a lot of money." Perhaps referring to the report that the actress is set to earn $70 million for her 2013 blockbuster. "You can tip him, right?" Then the Oscar host hit up the ideal person to handle the bill. Are you ready? Miramax Film Studio executive Harvey Weinstein. So continuing, "No pressure, only a billion people watching. Whatever you feel is right," she told him, again getting laughs from the crowd. DeGeneres was committed to making sure the delivery man was paid for all Williams' big brown hat. The Oscar host was able to collect money from Weinstein, Pitt, Ajifo, Kevin Spacey, and John Travolta, while Lupita Nyong'o was who earlier in the broadcast won a Best Supporting Actress Oscar for 12 Years as a Slave, contributed lip balm, which DeGeneres pocketed for herself. It's a very, very weird article. Anecdotal, is it evidence of anything? No, but it's awful strange. Don't you think? Why would she have pizza delivered to the Oscars? Asking Harvey Weinstein to foot the bill. Hilarious. And there are a number of other, you know, all of the Trump articles. I'll come back to that, but the Esquire article, I mean, there's the Ronan Farrow stuff, but unpacking Donald Trump's ties to Jeffrey Epstein as shown in Netflix's Filthy Rich, we have to have the explainer. That was published back in 2020. Interesting stuff. Still don't understand how he gets a pass. There are others. This more recently fact check was Trump's special master, a judge in Jeffrey Epstein's case. This was published on the 16th of this month, September 16, 2022. Veteran federal judge Raymond Deary has been named as special master in a case involving former President Donald Trump's handling of White House documents. This is another one of these bizarre articles. Listen to this. 78-year-old who is a senior United States District Judge from Eastern District of New York has been described as scrupulously fair following his appointment by Judge Eileen Cannon. Deary will review documents seized in an FBI search of Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida on August 8th. He was one of the candidates suggested by former president's legal team, and the DOJ did not object. But this, a legal case from almost 30 years ago, has reemerged since Deary's appointment, which some critics of the former president claim raises concerns about his position. This is a fact check article by Newsweek. Several Twitter users shared a 1993 court case in the Eastern District of New York against an individual named Jeffrey Epstein. Case information is available at the website Court Listener and shows Deary presided over the case. So, TLDR, spoiler alert, the article goes on to say it was a Jeffrey Epstein, but not that Jeffrey Epstein. Which, you know, again, has one thinking, yeah, right. You know, you think I don't know, Alexander Acosta, for example. Speaking of Epstein. And if you are willing to toe the line for no apparent reason, you get promoted. Which brings me to the next crazy story. Speaking of whitewashing, high-profile deviants get you promoted. Even Snopes knows that it's true. Ketanji Brown Jackson. There's a Snopes article. Was Ketanji Brown Jackson the judge in the Pizzagate case? The U.S. Supreme Court nominee reportedly had sentenced the shooter to prison in 2017. Is it true? Even Snopes knows it's true. Interesting. The plot thickens. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Welcome back. You can go back in time and see for yourself. For example, there was that Atlantic article, Pizzagate shooter to serve 4 years in jail. The gunman pled guilty after carrying out a violent response to an online conspiracy theory by Aria Bendix. And so from the article, while similar cases have resulted in less severe sentences, the judge, Ketanji Jackson, stressed the large-scale consequences of Welch's actions and goes on to, you know, it was a brief article, but, you know, of course, James Alifantis is cast in a very victimized sort of light, which is, you know, painting the fox in the hen house as the victim. According to Jackson, the incident had the potential to inspire similar ill-conceived plots in the future. She also argued that the shooting, quote, literally left psychological wreckage by traumatizing Alifantis and his employees. I think, you know, and I don't remember, did we ever look into Edgar Madison Welch and see where he comes from, and what kind, what sort, what flavor of Manchurian Patsy he is exactly. So there's the Reddit thread, for example. Someone isn't telling the truth about Edgar Madison Welch. Evidence timeline and lots of links inside. To begin, alleged witness Sharif Silmi said he was inside Comet Ping Pong when the gunman entered. He confirmed three times in tweets that the man had a shotgun. He confirmed in a tweet that he had seen the suspect. When he was asked by another Twitter user, he was the one who tweeted the picture of the gunman surrendering to police, he was one of the first to start tweeting about the incident, and he never said anything about an assault rifle, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, it's an interesting, if you're, you know, if it's of interest, the Reddit thread on that is curious, to say the least. But, you know, above all, I would say when this subject arises and it's been suppressed effectively, I always think of Ben Swan's video on this, his fact check or his reality check, excuse me, that basically got him scrubbed from social media and he disappeared for a while from public view. Remember that? For months. Everybody was looking for proof of life. Is Ben Swan still around? We haven't heard much from him since. Less and less, I would say. So that was a curious thing. Second hour coming up. We'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.